Bibles up this morning to the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2, please.
Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, we're going to look at verses 11 through 13 this morning. What we've been discussing and what we've been talking about the last few weeks is why Christians should have hope. And what exactly hope is compared to how the world views it, compared to how a Christian should view it. You think about how the world looks at hope. The dictionary says it's to have a wish to get or do something, or a wish for something to happen, or a wish for something to be true, especially something that seems possible or likely. It's just wishing, just thinking it might happen. But the hope that we find in the Bible and the hope that we're talking about that we can find in Jesus Christ is a deep, settled confidence in God and that God will keep His promises. A few weeks ago, we talked about our reasons for our hope, and we talked about the power of the cross and the proof of the resurrection, and we talked about the promises of God. And last week, we talked about the promise for the world, the hope for the world, which is found in Jesus Christ and us taking the gospel to the world. This morning, I'd like to look at one another great promises in the Bible, a promise that all of us should hold dear and true to our lives. It's the hope that Jesus is coming back, the hope that Jesus is coming back. In the world that we live in today, it's something you look around and you say, we're in such a mess, and you're wondering, how in the world can anybody have any hope in the day and time that we live in? All we have to do is hold on to the promises of the Word of God, and the great hope that we have is that someday Jesus Christ has made us a promise that He would come back. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've ever been asked this question. As a preacher, I've been asked this question. It says, are we living in the last days? People ask that. They find out you're a pastor or a preacher sometimes when you're knocking on doors, and they hear all the different things, and they hear preachers preach and other things like that, and it's like, hey, do you think we're living in the last days? And I think there are some indications found in the Bible that show us that we may be living in the last days, and shows us that I believe we are living in the last days. We did have it prepared because we have a lot of verses we want to go over. We do have a lot of things we like to cover this morning, so we're going to go pretty fast. We actually had it prepared to show you on the PowerPoint because of all the different verses, but for some reason the computer decided to take a vacation. So the Gregors and the Cartwrights help us in the sound booth, and the Gregors were on vacation last week. Cartwrights are on vacation this week, so the computers decided it wanted to take a vacation today. But please just listen as we talk a little bit and as we preach for a little while about this idea. We can have hope because Jesus is coming back. We can have hope because Jesus is coming back. Look what it says in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men, teaching us that in denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, and if it means you're saved by the grace of God, I'm not talking about that you think you're saved because you've gone through baptism or you've done some catechism or because your mom told you you're saved, your dad told you you're saved. I'm talking about a person who is truly saved, repented of their sins, and cried out to God and said, God, I know I need a Savior. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. If you are a Christian here this morning, you have a blessed hope. You have a hope that Jesus Christ, you look what it says here in verse number 13, it says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that day when He comes. It says that we should be looking for that blessed hope. We should live our lives with this thought that Jesus Christ could come back today. You say, are we living in the last days? Think of these things. If you'd like to write a couple of these things down, I encourage you. Here's some indications that we're living in the last days. Wars and rumors of wars. The Bible says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. You know, when we hear about all the different wars that are going on, the Bible says this is an indication that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. We also not only see that, you see Israel's return to the land. This is one thing that people used to scoff at and say, oh yeah, they said Jesus is going to be coming back for a long time. time, but when they got a hold of this prophecy that Israel was going to become a nation once again, they would sit there and say, look, Israel's not even a nation. He can't come back. But back in 1948, Israel came together once again to make a nation, and it fulfilled the prophecy that was going to happen. So there is nothing that can stop from Jesus Christ coming back. Also, false prophets. The Bible says in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. I tell you, in the day and time that we live in today, it's filled with false prophets. People who are claiming to be the Messiah. And sometimes that should discourage us. You know what that should do? That should tell us that, you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back even sooner. That should encourage us to want to go and spread the truth and spread the gospel. Not only is it that, you see that in the Bible says that the rise in occult practices. Rise in occult practices. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What the Bible is saying that is when people start messing around with the occult and messing around with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, it's a sign, it's an indication that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And I tell you, the day and time we live in, it is amazing to me how much they portray such things as good magic and good witches. It's all of the devil. It's all of Satan. And we need to make sure we stay away from it. This is a sign that says, an indication that says Jesus Christ is coming back. And you see that in that last verse. It says, their conscience was seared with a hot iron. They've gotten to the point that it's so much around them and so prevalent, and they've gotten so used to it, they don't think there's anything wrong with it. Why else would you think people would get branded or tattooed with things such as Satan on it, or skulls, or snakes or dragons, things representing evil and wickedness, things of the occult? Why would they do that? It's because their conscience has been seared. This world's mind has been seared and thinking, hey, there is nothing wrong with it. But the Bible says this is a sign of the latter times, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. You also think about the diseases and earthquakes. Luke 21:11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And this is just telling us and showing us, you think of this word pestilence, it's talking about diseases and all the different diseases that are coming up in the day and time we live in, and all the different extraordinary weather things and the things that are hurt. It's just showing us this world is rickety and it's old and it's getting ready to pass away. And think about it, this is one that many times people don't think much about. In Daniel 12:4, the Bible says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So the increase that we have in transportation and technology is also a sign that Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming soon. This morning, I want to encourage you, because you say, Pastor, you talk about earthquakes, you talk about diseases, you talk about the occult, you talk about all these things. And he says, man, that sounds pretty bad. You know what? As a Christian, as a believer, if you have hope, if you are a Christian here today, and you have that blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ, these are not signs of discouragement. This is just signs that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. And the reason why we don't have to be discouraged is because of our hope. The reason why we can always rejoice, as the Bible tells us to, the reason why we can always live in peace and always be willing to forgive and always be willing to do the things that God has told us to, is because we have that hope. Amen. That hope that God is in control. That hope that Jesus Christ said, no matter whatever anything happens, even though it seems like the world is going crazy. I don't know about you, but I think the world is going crazy sometimes. At least in the land that we live in, is getting farther and farther and getting worse and worse. You know what the Bible's saying? That's an indication that Jesus Christ could be coming back. Isn't that wonderful? That is our blessed hope. That is what we should live with. That is what we should live on. That's what we should understand. But, you know, many times Christians are so discouraged because their hope isn't found in the return of Jesus Christ. Their hope's found in their wallet. Their hope's found in relationships with friends and coworkers, or their job or their talents and their abilities. But if our hope is found that Jesus Christ is going to return, if our hope is found in God, you know what? We don't have to be discouraged. When we see these things, we can say, praise the Lord, that means Jesus could come back today. And that's the way we need to look at things. And when we consider all the different reasons for hope, and there's a lot of different things we're going to talk about in the next few weeks about hope, I couldn't think of a greater thing to start off this with than thinking about the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. Praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, I do ask that you speak to people's hearts today. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that is not ready, that is not ready for the day you'll come back, Lord, that you will speak to their heart, show them their need and simplicity that they need to put their faith and trust in you, and Lord, that they turn to you today. And Lord, if there's Christians here today that haven't been living with this hope in their mind, that been living the way they want to live or doing what they want, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts about the need to be looking for you and living a life as if we're looking for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's some things I want you to take with you today. I want you to understand, and hopefully we can leave this morning believing that Jesus Christ could come back today. Say, Pastor, I already believe that way. Well, many of us aren't living that way. So maybe we should change that and say that we can live believing that Jesus Christ could come back today. First thing I want you to see is the promise of his coming. The promise of his coming. Now, we learned a little while ago what we're basing this series of messages on is off the promises of God. Last week, we learned about the promise of the Holy Spirit, how we can make a difference in the world, and that there is hope for the world, because not because of our power, not because of our strength, but because of the power of God and the power of his Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to say this to you. It's not because I'm saying that Jesus Christ is coming back. It's not because someone else is saying it. Jesus Christ himself said he would return. Listen to what it says in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Familiar passages of scripture. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse number 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. Now this is not me saying this. This is Jesus' words. You might not like the things I say sometimes. He might not like the things I said about the occult or tattooing or how bad I think the world is getting. But you know what? When Jesus says something, we need to stand up, we need to listen, and we need to pay attention. And when he says, I will come again, you know what? You can take that to the bank, and you can be assured of this, that Jesus Christ is coming back. You say, when is he coming back? We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. But he has given us things to indicate when he is coming back, and we see those indications are getting fulfilled, and we see these indications happening all around us. We see the signs of the time, and he could come back today. And that is not something to be discouraged about. That's something we should be rejoicing over. Jesus Christ, our Savior, could return today, and we could be with him in heaven forevermore. Praise the Lord. But how come Christians today don't get excited about that? It's because their hope is in this world and not the hope that he's returning someday. I want you to understand that it's also a sudden thing. Not only is it a sure thing, it's a sudden thing. The amazing thing in these passages of Scripture, I want you to understand, is that Jesus Christ is coming back personally for us. Someday, it's not he's sending an angel to come get us. He's not running up a tour that they're going to just take everybody up. And what he says, he is going to come back. He says, I will come again. If Jesus Christ said it, we can believe it. The Bible doesn't only say that he said he's coming again. Not only can we count this as a sure thing, we got to remember that the promise of his coming is going to be a sudden thing. A sudden thing. I know that probably some of you have seen that Tim LaHaye Left Behind, and you've seen how that when the Christians are gone and taken out of this world, the world's going to probably be in chaos. You know, there's going to be Christians that flying airplanes, you know, with the pilots, and Christians that are driving cars, and Christians all around. And the world's going to be looking and trying to figure out what happened. Can you imagine those news reporters? Oh, there's a few million people missing today. We don't know what's going on, but we'll get back with you when we do. You know, there's chaos all around. It's going to be a sudden thing. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. What is that saying? That's where our mind should be. That's where our focus should be, in heaven. For whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If our hope is focused on looking for that blessed hope and our eyes are focused on heaven, the things of this world, we're not going to say, man, how can we fix this? We're going to say, man, that's just another sign that Jesus could come back. Now, it's a sudden thing. Listen to what it says in Matthew 24:42. It says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Jesus Christ in the stories and his parables told us, you need to be paying attention. You need to be ready. And he talked about how some will be taken, others will be left behind. And talked about how he was as a king or a ruler and leaving, and he was coming back. And he says, occupy till I come. He was calling his servants to see how they done. You know, we're not going to know when he's coming. We need to make sure we're ready. So we understand the promise of his coming, that it is a sure thing. We understand that the promise of his coming is a sudden thing. I know some people say, hey, I'll get ready someday when I know he's coming back. You'll never know the time. Did you know that there's an inscription in the dome of our Capitol in Washington, which very few people know about? It says, one far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. Listen to that again. On the top of our Capitol, in the dome, it says, one far off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. When a visitor saw that inscription, he asked the tour guide what he meant. And the tour guide, probably not being a Christian, but understanding a little bit about the founding forefathers, he says, I think it refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That the men who established our country believed that Jesus was going to come back someday. Isn't that amazing? That that dome of our Capitol was erected. Some God-fearing official ordered that inscription to be etched in the dome of our seat of government, believing this truth with all his heart. And how come us in churches today don't have that on our hearts and minds when the government had it in our hearts and minds many years ago? We need to be looking for that blessed hope. This is what our hope should be found in. It shouldn't be found in an administration. It should not be found in a politician. It should not be found in a man or a woman. It should be found in the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back someday and that he is coming back for his own. Now, let me put it this way. How much would you change your life and the things you did if every day you woke up, you said, you know what, today could be the day he came back? I wonder what type of different husband you would be, or what type of different wife, or what type of different child, who you would go visit, who you would tell the gospel to, who you would apologize to, who you would make things right with. Remember, it's a sudden thing. Listen how G. Campbell Morgan put it. He said, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. I am not looking for death. I am looking for him. And think about what it says here. He says, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. I am not looking for death. I am looking for him. D.L. Moody put it this way. I never preach a sermon without thinking that the possibility the Lord may come before I preach another. And sometimes you don't ever give the preacher a hard time for being passionate. Don't ever give a preacher a hard time for saying some hard things. Pray for him if you think he's saying something that you might consider inappropriate. Instead, pray for him and ask God to guide his words and step. But D.L. Moody says, I can't get past the fact that the message I'm preaching today could be my last message before Jesus Christ ever came back. And I know what he's saying there. He's saying, I need to preach the gospel so those that are lost, that they can be saved. I need to preach the gospel so that way Jesus would be satisfied or actually pleased with what I'm doing. I wonder, if we woke up every day thinking Jesus could come back today, I wonder how much we would do things differently. Who is it that you would talk to? Guess if you knew you had one day to live, one day Jesus was coming back, what is it that you would do? I know we would make sure that our families would want to be there with us. I think we would want to make sure we were right with God, right with others. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back. It's a sure thing because he said, I will come again. But it also is a sudden thing. We need to make sure that we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're saved. Next thing I want you to see is the preparation for his coming. Actually, not the preparation, the presentation of his coming. The presentation of his coming. Go ahead and take your Bibles since you're not turned that far. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The presentation of his coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Now, we're going to be talking about a lot of things that you could spend hours and weeks in explaining, but we're just giving you a quick overview. We're talking about Jesus Christ coming back. It's a sure thing. It's a sudden thing. Now we want to say, how is he going to come back? Okay, Pastor, you got my attention. You're saying that Jesus, God's Son, is going to come back to this world today. Where do you see that in the Bible, and how's that going to happen? Well, it happens in two different stages. There's two different stages. First, he presents himself to his church, the presentation to his church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, some of the greatest passages of scriptures in all the Bible, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What we're learning here this morning is something that is called the rapture. You say, you don't see the word rapture in the Bible, but what you see here in verse number 17, you see the word shall be caught up. This word caught up in Latin means rapturo, which means rapture today. And what's going to happen is that anyone who has a spirit in him, anyone who is saved, is like when a magnet will pull a metal up to you. It's the same thing that when Jesus Christ calls his church home, anyone who has a spirit in him, they'll come up there and will be caught up together and will be with him in the clouds. So the rapture, when Christ presents himself to his church, according to what this says, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then them which are alive. If Jesus Christ came back today, we are alive. If we're Christians, we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. It says we'll be caught up together. We will be brought up together with Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about when he says, I will come again. First, it's a presentation to his church. What it's saying that if you're a believer, if you're on your way to heaven, you know what? Then you're going to be with him in the clouds. Now, I'm not just talking about any believer. I'm not just saying, hey, I believe in a God somewhere. I'm talking about a person who's put their, come to Jesus Christ, come to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible way. You say, well, I come to church. Well, you know what? Coming to church and walking through the church door will make you just as much a Christian as if you walked into a garage, made you a car. Coming to church does not save you. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is what saves you. Just because you walk in a garage, you don't become a car. Just because you walk into church, you do not become a Christian. I want you to get this and understand this because this is important. He is coming back someday. And if you do not have your hope and you're not 100% sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, or if he did come back today that you would be caught up, that you would be brought up with him, then you need to make sure of that today. Now, not only is it a presentation to his church, but see, you say, church, Christians, you know, how many is going to be there? I don't know how many is going to be caught up. But I do know that there's going to be a lot left behind. And it's, you see the presentation in churches, it's a marvelous thought that we're going to be caught up together in a twinkling eye. It's a sudden thing, and we're going to be with Jesus, going to be there forever. But there's going to be a whole mess of people left behind. Take your Bible and look here in Revelation chapter number 19, if you like to. You can listen. Revelation chapter number 19. Talks a little bit about what's going to happen here on this world. So what's going to happen is when Jesus calls his children home, he gets caught up in the clouds, that the people who are left behind will go through a seven-year tribulation period. The Antichrist will come on the scene for his first 3.5 years. They'll have what they consider that type of utopia. Everything's getting along. Everything's peaceful. And then the last 3.5 years, you're going to see the Antichrist turn, and there'll be violence and anger poured out on the nation of Israel. And then after the 7 years are over, as they're getting ready to overtake the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ will return. And you see in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 15, you see him coming in his power. You see him coming in righteousness. You see him coming in truth. You say, Jesus Christ is no whim. Jesus Christ is not, he is coming to judge the world. These are the people who have rejected him. These are the people who said, I don't want anything to do with you. These are the people who has turned their back on God. It says in verse number 11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. See, he is right in the fact that he is judging and making war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and the name, his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should be smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now I want you to get this, understand this. Look at that. His last phrase is the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. It is for those who do not accept Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ returns for his second coming, when he comes back to this earth, he will not come as a lamb. He is coming as a lion. He will not come to try to save others. Instead, he's coming in a time of judgment. And when Jesus returns, it will be a time where people will lose their lives. Now, look what it says there. Smite the nations. Mouth goeth as a sharp sword. These are hard things to take and understand. Pastor, can't you talk a little bit more about the church and when it comes back and how we can spend time with heaven? Yes, But if you're here today and you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, and Jesus Christ came back for his church, this is what you're headed towards if you make it through the seven-year tribulation. Not only do I want you to see the promise of his coming and the presentation of his coming, he is going to present himself to the church, and then he is going to come in power. He's going to come in righteousness and judge and make war with those that are still on this earth. But also, I want you to see the preparation for his coming. Now, you say, what do you mean by preparations for his coming? Go back to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, our original text there. Titus chapter number 2, it tells us to be looking for our blessed hope, but also tells us how we can be prepared for his coming. You know, one of the most somber thoughts in all the Bible, one of the most somber verses in all the Bible, is when he says, prepare to meet thy God. It's found in the book of Amos. It's something I talk about many times when I get the privilege of doing a funeral. I said, prepare to meet thy God. And if you haven't really gotten anything out of this morning's message, or maybe you really haven't been listening, please focus in on these last 5 minutes. You know, are you prepared to meet God someday? Someday, the Bible's teaching us that we will stand before God. If you're a Christian, you'll stand in the judgment seat of Christ. If you're an unbeliever, you'll stand at the white throne judgment. And at that day, when you stand before God, it will be a personal encounter between you and God of what you did with his son, Jesus Christ, and whether or not you lived for him once you accepted him. Here, the question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for his coming? Look what it says here. First, how do you say, Pastor, how do I get prepared? First, the way you get prepared is through salvation. Salvation. Look what it says in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. Isn't that wonderful? It has appeared to all men. If you really, truly want to be ready for his coming, if you really want to truly be ready for his rapture, there is only one way you can be ready. And that is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. No other way is going to get you there. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So hear what it's saying. If you truly want to be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ, remember it is a sure thing. Remember it is a sudden thing. He is going to present himself to his church. He's going to present himself to this world. But are you prepared and ready for it? This is a blessed hope. This is what we grab a hold of and say, yes, the world's going crazy, but Jesus Christ is coming back. But are you prepared for that? If he was to come back today, would you go with him? He came in the clouds, called his church home. Would you be one of those? Is that the case? Because the Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. He's saving us from those end times. I don't think we'll be part of the tribulation. I think we're going to be taken out. He's going to save us from those times of hardship. He's going to save us from those times of wickedness. And he's saving us from our sins. And it has appeared to all men. You say, I can't get saved. You can get saved. He says it's appeared to all men. It's his fame, it's an offer that he's giving to the world. Are you ready to meet God? Are you prepared for the day Jesus Christ is coming back? Salvation is available. Today is the day of salvation. Cry out to him and ask him to save you from your sins. Jesus Christ came to this world, died for the sins of mankind, was buried, and he rose again. And he says the Bible teaches us the only way we can go to heaven is if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth that he is the Lord. And this morning, that's the only way you can be prepared. Baptism is not going to prepare you. Living a good life is not going to prepare you. Being a good kid is not going to prepare you. Whatever it is, nothing's going to prepare you except for putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Second thing, not only be prepared through salvation, but be prepared through separation. Prepared through separation. Say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean being separated unto God. And as you separate unto God, you're going to separate from the world. You know, I get tired of people wanting to use the grace of God as a license to sin. Well, because I'm under the grace of God, I can do whatever I want. I can live whatever way I want. That is theology from hell. That's what it is. It's not. God never, you know what it says here in verse number 11, from the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does it do in verse number 12? What's that next phrase? It says teaching. What does it teach us? Hey, go do whatever you want. Live however you want. Because you're saved, because you have the grace of God on your life, do whatever you feel like you want to do. And you say, Pastor, that's kind of harsh. That's how many Christians live today. But what does the Bible tell us? That the grace of God should prepare us. It should prepare us for the day we're going to meet him. Look at teaching us what? It says that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, I want you to understand this, that the world is affecting the church today more than the church is affecting the world. And there is a problem here. The world is affecting your family more than the church is affecting your family. Why is that? It's because we're not doing what this says. We're not letting the grace of God teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Many times the world is teaching your family more than you're teaching it. Because we see how, as soon as they're out of the house, what do? They shoot right to the world. Well, it was already in their heart already. Why is that? It's because we've made and let people convince us that we do not need to live a separated life. People today use the term grace like it's a license to sin. They think they can live whatever way they want, but that is not in the Bible. That is not real Christianity. Nowhere in the Bible, in Christianity, does it tell us that live whatever way you want. The Bible tells us that we should want to be conforming to the image of His Son. I don't care what your family tells you. I don't care what somebody else tells you, what your friends, what your coworkers tell you. Look at what the Bible says. I don't care if they've gone to some other church and they start getting taught a different doctrine. You hear different things from different people. Look what your Bible says. It says right here, it teaches us that we should deny ungodliness, that we should deny worldly lust, that we should live what? It says soberly. What does that mean? It means with a sound mind, seriously, discreetly. We're not raising a generation that lives with a sound mind and that living seriously. We live with a generation that is all about wanting what they can have and wanting to fulfill their own lusts and hopping from one guy to another girl to this and that. We see the trash that they put on the TV. We're not teaching them to deny ungodliness. We're not teaching them. We're not taking this serious. And if we are not learning from the Bible, and we're not learning from the preaching and teaching and growing to become more like Jesus Christ, we are just playing a game. We are just playing a game with our Christianity. Real Christianity means that we are supposed to grow up and to become into the image of Jesus Christ. We should be growing. You should not be in the same spot you were 10 years ago. You should not be in the same spot you were 5 years ago or a year ago. You should be growing in your Christian walk, in your Christian faith. How does that happen? Through the Bible. Let the grace of God teach us what we should be doing, and we should be living soberly. If salvation prepares us for a future destination, the separation shows us how we should live until we get there. And soberly means that we live seriously. We stop making a joke of our Christian lives and start saying, how am I supposed to live? Jesus Christ is coming back, and I want to live the way He wants me to, because when He returns, I want to be found faithful in what He's called us to do. Not only soberly, but righteously. It says, look, we're supposed to deny the ungodliness. We're supposed to deny worldly lust. And we should live soberly and righteously. And what does righteousness mean? Agreeable to right. Justly. Doing what is in line with righteousness. That's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live according to the Bible. And we've gotten so far away from it. It's become so odd to us that when somebody gets up and preaches about things that are in the Bible, the intent is to go up and say, well, you know, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so lives this way. They're my friend. They're this. They're that. I'm not condemning anybody or their friends, but if it's contrary to the Bible, it's not what's supposed to be teaching us. We're supposed to be living righteously according to what the Bible says, and it's what the Bible says is that we're supposed to be living righteously. Look what it says, godly. You know, godly in this present world. Not in church. It says in this present world. That means when you leave this church, you're supposed to live godly. What does godly mean? It means that I want to live a life that would be pleasing to God. I want to think about God as I'm living my life. Young person, that means that you'll focus on your life, and when you're watching something, you're looking at something, you'll say, hey, is this something God would want me to watch? Is this something God wants me to do? Is this something that God would have for me in my life? That's what godly is. I'm putting in my whole mind, my whole perspective, what God would want me to do, and His perspective is how I want to live. I want to live soberly. I want to take my Christian life seriously. Jesus Christ could come back. Remember, we are looking, and you see that next 13, verse number 13, that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness, teaches us to deny worldly lust, teaches us instead to live soberly, teaches us to live righteously, teaches us to live godly in this present world. And what does it also teach us to do? Looking for that blessed hope. Is our mind toward the duty toward God? Are we consciously living in the presence of God, being aware that God lives in us? You know, people say, man, this is a terrible thing to hear you preach about godliness. Well, where else are you going to hear it? You're in church. So where are you supposed to hear it about? You're supposed to live godly. This is what God wants us to do. You might not like it. You might cross your hairs, and you might, but it's what the Bible says. We're supposed to be looking for that blessed hope. Amen. It says looking for it. You know, what does the word looking for mean? It means that we're expecting it. Means that when we do get up in the morning, like G. Campbell Morgan says, I wonder if today is the day that Jesus Christ could come back. And you know what? If today is the day Jesus Christ was going to come back, I want to go out and I want to live. I want to live the way that God would want me to live. I'm going to treat my wife the right way. I'm going to treat my husband the right way. I'm going to be willing to forgive because Jesus could come back today. I'm going to be willing to serve because he could come back today. I'm going to be willing to do whatever he's called me to do because he could come back today. Looking for that blessed hope. Last but not least, prepare through salvation, prepare through separation, but prepare through steadfastness. Prepare through steadfastness. Take your Bible one last time and take it to Hebrews chapter number 10. In Hebrews chapter number 10, you see passages of scripture once again that is referring to Jesus Christ coming. Hebrews chapter number 10, these are some familiar verses. It says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10 verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Look what it says in verse number 25. People who don't like to come to church don't like this verse. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. What does that mean? You should be at church. You should be faithful to church. That's what it means. And it says that as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. It means encouraging one another. It says, I get tired when somebody encourages me to come to church. Well, they're just doing what the Bible tells them to do. Right. Encouraging one another, exhorting one another. And look what it says. And so the much more. You know what it's saying? That we shouldn't stop coming to church, that we should go back on our church attendance. It means it's even more important, so the much more, that we should want to be there and we should want to encourage one another and that we should want to consider one another and provoke unto one another love and the good works as you see the day approaching. What day are they talking about? The day Jesus Christ comes back. That's what they're talking about. They're telling Jesus Christ has come back, and when you see the day approaching, how do you see the day approaching? We talked about those indicators earlier. What did we talk about those indicators? We said, you know, the wars and the rumors of the wars and the pestilence and the earthquakes and the people dealing with the occult and the information age we live in. All those things are indications that Jesus Christ could come back very soon. And what does the Bible say? Well, if he's coming back pretty soon, that means I don't need to be faithful to church because I'm going to heaven. So what's the big deal? No, the Bible says we need to group together even more, even stronger, encourage each other even more and even stronger and provoke one another unto good works and provoke unto love. We need to be faithful. We need to be steadfast. He could be coming back today. And we need to be steadfast. Amen. We need to be faithful. It's not time to get tired and quit and give up. Instead, it's time to dig in and say, you know what? He could come back today. I can hold on one more day. And then get back tomorrow, get up tomorrow. You know what? He could come today. I can hold on for one more day. And you know what? I can hold on for one more day. And that will be for the rest of our lives because we want to be steadfast in serving God. I don't know why sometimes people change churches. You know what? You know, sometimes people just give up. Sometimes they get upset. Sometimes, but you know, lots of times when they change one church, they go to another church and they don't go anymore. And they don't go as much. I mean, why do they need churches? I mean, does it make a difference which one you stay home from? I mean, does it really make a difference? It doesn't. We need to be sober. We need to be righteous. We need to live godly in this present world. And we need to be looking for his coming. We need to be steadfast in our service. We need to say, you know what? I'm not going to let things or people stop me from worshiping and serving the Lord. And that's what the Bible is saying here, is that we need to be steadfast. You know what in every book of the New Testament, it talks a little bit about Jesus coming. Somewhere. You know why? It's because they were excited. You read it, many of them actually thought, you know what, it could be today. You know what, they lived their lives looking for that blessed hope. And you have hope today. If you're a Christian and you're a believer, you're saved, and I'm not talking because of baptism, and I'm talking because of a catechism, and I'm talking about it because someone told you, is that there was a time and a moment in your life where you said, I know I'm a sinner, I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the fact that he died, he was buried, he rose again for my salvation, and I'm putting my faith and trust in him and him alone. I repent of my sins, I'm trusting in God. Then you have a blessed hope. You have something to look forward to. You have something to hold on to. But if you don't have that, you know what you have? Nothing when Jesus Christ comes back. You have a promise, but the promise is that someday you're going to have to stand before God and answer, what did you do with Jesus Christ? This morning, do you have that blessed hope? If Jesus Christ was going to come back today, would you be caught up? That raptoro, that rapture, would you be caught up in the air with him? Would you stand there with him? Or would you still be left behind? And Christians, you know what? The Bible teaches us that the grace of God does not give us a license to sin. I love that verse. Instead, it teaches us to deny ungodliness, teaches us to deny the worldly lust. It teaches us to live soberly. It teaches us to live righteously. It teaches us to live godly. I mean, how many of us got it mixed up? How many of us know people that have it mixed up? Oh, the Bible doesn't say I have to go to church. The Bible doesn't say I should care about the way I dress. The Bible doesn't say what I should watch. The Bible doesn't say what I care. You know, that if you want to hear that, go listen to a lot of people on TV. That's what they're saying. You can become like the world. God doesn't care. Well, I don't know what they do with those verses there. Instead, they say, look for that blessed hope. Live like you are, like he could come back today. I don't know about you, but when someone's gone and been away for a while and they're coming back, you're looking for them, you're not going to be doing things that are going to displease them. Instead, you're going to be doing the things that are going to make them good, make them happy if you love the person. Encourage it. Make sure you're ready. And if you are saved and on your way to heaven, praise the Lord. Live like you could come back today. I tell you, look in the Bible, see what the Bible says. Let yourself become more like Jesus Christ. It is one of the greatest promises we have. It's a promise he is going to return. And it could be today. Live like it is what the encouragement to do today is. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a time of prayer and invitation.